Welcome to the Square Peg Show for September 22nd, 2014. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
Today we will be reviewing Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Boyhood, and Super. But first, some movie and TV news.
What you got, Mike? What's good?
I wanted to start with two stories I thought just really kind of fit your sensibilities.
Yes.
And one of them is that Doctor Strange will be skipping the origin.
Really?
I feel like anytime they skip the origin, good stuff, right? Or maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe you'd rather see a Doctor Strange.
Well, I mean, you know, we're talking about a character who's not really, really known. He's not, like, on the A-list of Marvel. Like, if we skip the origin of Spider-Man again, then that'll be fine. But
well, when we saw Guardians, I mean, that was one of the plus sides, is that they didn't go into every single thing.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, they just kind of gloss over a couple things, so.
The other thing I thought you might like is it says Rian Johnson, for his Star Wars movie, he'll be doing episode 8 after the J.J. Abrams one. Rian Johnson being the guy, the director we talked about from Breaking Bad and other stuff. Promises more practical effects for the next Star Wars movie.
I've heard about this, yes.
So that just screamed to you. Plus,
yes,
I mean, also I feel like it's something that is a lost art. Kind of how 2D animation is kind of a lost art nowadays. I feel like practical effects are too.
From what I understand, and I don't know, I haven't actually read it, but I've heard that they were actually building a 1-to-1 scale Millennium Falcon somewhere.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for all the practical shots and for the interior shots. So very
kind of like what we mentioned with the Serenity ship for episode 25.
Absolutely.
Andrew Garfield says that they cut out a lot of the good parts of Amazing Spider-Man 2, like the studio interference and stuff. Now, we had a pretty positive review of Amazing Spider-Man 2, but did you feel like there was something lost, like connecting scenes or anything? I guess one of my complaints is it did kind of like go through the numbers. I didn't come away raving about the movie, but it was a solid superhero movie.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. I couldn't think of anything that was really missing. I mean, unless Andrew Garfield is talking specifically about maybe some, like, emotional scenes between Peter and Gwen, and, you know, they acted their hearts out, but it got cut kind of thing, maybe.
But they had a ton of that stuff.
They did, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it was, like, so much romance stuff, so much villain stuff. Yeah, you know, the old joke. I saw the, what's the name of the YouTube series where they talk about how all the flaws in the movie?
CinemaSins.
Or Honest Trailers.
Honest Trailers, yeah.
Yeah, so I watched the one for Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, because you demanded it, the fifth Spider-Man movie in 15 years, you know, and it goes through all the parts about they did the same thing Spider-Man 3 did with too many villains and everything. So I think there are some complaints about the movie, you know, but overall I liked it. Microsoft buying Minecraft?
Yes.
Any thoughts on that?
$2.5 billion in 6 years. This thing went from nothing, and then 6 years later, $2.5 million acquisition. Holy shit. Why didn't I think of this, Mike?
There are some concerns, though, from video game players that Microsoft may interfere in the integrity of it. Apparently, Minecraft had, like, a reputation of, you know, kind of going against the grain and being more independent.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was like, the guy in charge, I forget his name.
They call him Notch.
Okay, he said it was too much to manage anymore and he wanted to move on to other creative projects. So.
Well, I mean, yeah, everyone's kind of flipping their shit over this. And I don't know. I mean, it is Microsoft, so it's kind of like, the devil sort of thing. But at the same time, I mean, Microsoft has been in the game business for quite a while. I'm pretty sure they will at least have, you know, the game's original intention in mind as they move on with the project. So I'm not really that worried about it. I think it'll be fine.
I don't have any details about this yet, but The Tick is returning.
Yes, he is.
The live-action series returning to Amazon, who has been doing, you know, streaming-type original content like Netflix does. I'll put more information about The Big Return on our website, squarepicture.com. But my first thoughts were, this is great.
Yes.
That is a show that only lasted, the live action only lasted, I think, 6 episodes. And I don't even know if they all aired on Fox.
Yeah.
And Patrick Warburton was really cool and really good. Nestor Carbonell as Batmanuel. And the whole cast was funny. To me, a silly parody kind of superhero live action thing like that, that's a good idea for a TV show.
Yes. And I mean, and it had kind of a cult following as well. So, I mean, it's good that they're bringing something like this back. And we're seeing more and more of this, where these properties are suddenly coming back from cancellation. And that's cool. That's cool to see. So that just means that maybe Firefly is around the corner.
Don't cross.
Anybody?
I don't know.
Someone write some letters.
I was wrong about two things with Shazam. Uh-oh. First, I was like, this is not going to work. And it's totally going to work because of the latest news with The Rock.
Yes.
Two, I said, well, The Rock won't play Black Adam. He'll play Captain Marvel. He's going to play Black Adam.
Okay.
And there's some kind of like movie industry scuttlebutt that I love that word, scuttlebutt. that, you know, there was like this edict coming from Warner Brothers, coming from DC, that, you know, they weren't really concerned about the fun aspect. Right. Marvel, to me, a lot of their movies are really fun, mm-hmm. particularly Guardians. DC and Warner are very serious yes. with all of their men and types.
And somber.
But I hear that's not how it's going to be with Shazam. Because to me, Captain Marvel was always this kid story about how, you know, the boy, Billy Batson, mm-hmm. wanted to become this super muscular right. superhero. If they can do that, and to me, The Rock, I don't know if he's played villains very often, but he could be a pretty compelling villain,
I think. He was the Scorpion King.
Oh, that's true.
In the worst movie ever.
So what do you think? Do you think a Captain Marvel movie with, it won't be called Captain Marvel, it'll be called Shazam.
Shazam, yeah.
Do you think, with The Rock as the villain, Black Adam, do you think that would play well? Do you think that would be a good story, a good performing at the box office?
It's interesting because we were talking about this with Brandon, that The Rock could pretty much be in anything. And yeah, I mean, shit, why not? It has every chance that everything else does. But this, you know, hopefully, I'm calling it Captain Marvel. I don't care what anyone says. I think Captain Marvel kind of has a lighter palette anyway, so I think it'll probably be a bit more lighthearted and fun as opposed to something like, you know, Sad Batman and
right.
Dark Superman.
Which they used to be kids' characters. Right. They haven't been very much right. very often. But next season of Game of Thrones will be missing two of its regular characters. You hear about this?
Mm-hmm. Bran and Hodor.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, apparently they've gotten kind of to the end of Brandon's storyline, so now they're kind of having to have everyone else catch up.
I want to say we've seen this before with other Game of Thrones characters mm-hmm. where they skip a season because they're, for whatever reason.
Right.
I think this is a bit different, though, because people love Hodor.
Yes.
Maybe don't really care so much about Bran, but... well, I'm serious. What?
Bran's supposed to be, like, the main character guy, and Hodor is just kind of the background peripheral character. But you're like, everyone loves Hodor, no one really cares about Bran.
Well, I think we talked about this on a few of our Game of Thrones eps, is that I really can't stand prophecy-type, destiny-type stories. Right. I feel like we've seen so many of them.
Yes.
They get kind of boring to me. So I don't really care about Bran and his quests, although I did feel like the final scene we saw of him in this season was pretty okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, no Hodor next year, you know?
Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor. I actually saw a great picture. It was it says something like, George R. R. Martin was having trouble coming up with new material for his new chapters, so he did one completely from the perspective of Hodor. And just said, Hodor, 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 Hodor.
He'll get through the book a lot faster that
yes.
way. Fox picks up Lucifer, one of the DC Comics Vertigo properties, mm-hmm. with Lucifer being a spinoff of Sandman. And yes. the idea is Lucifer leaves his position in heaven and hell or whatever and becomes like a regular everyday man. To me, I mean, it's one of the best Vertigo ongoings ever. I'm really happy that I'm hoping the adaptation will be really good. Mm-hmm. But the larger story is how many networks are doing superhero and comic book properties now. Yeah. You see it all this time in movies, and yep. now the new fall season going to yep. be so many properties.
Bleeding over with, I mean, we got The Tick, we got Lucifer now, we have
Gotham,
Hell
The Flash.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I did see the pilot for The Flash.
Okay.
I wasn't supposed to have, because it's not out yet.
Okay.
But I did see it.
Well, it was just on your television one day.
Yeah, I just happened to walk by. I can go ahead and say I think it's going to be trash. It's very CW. It's very Smallville. It ties right in with Arrow.
Sure.
And, I mean, he actually made a cameo in it, so...
The fans seem to like this stuff, though.
Yeah.
Which is funny. My complaint about the movies is kind of going back to what we were saying with Captain Marvel and Batman and all this, is that I get kind of annoyed when the movies take themselves so seriously. And for what I understand, when it comes to Arrow, I hear Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be doing this more next season, is that if they embrace the comic books, it's good. But then there is that danger of it being kind of cheesy if right. they embrace it so much.
Absolutely. So I don't know. I mean, it's cool to have a Flash television show in the modern day as opposed to the older, you know, live action one that we had. But, you know, I don't know. It just looks like another reason to have Freak of the Week garbage. So
Walking Dead companion series got the pilot go ahead.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
No.
They are going to take the Walking Dead concept and then show what else is happening in other parts of the world.
Awesome.
And I guess AMC trying to have the Walking Dead series year-round, basically. But it seems like a strange idea for a spinoff, though. If all they're doing is taking the same exact concept and just being like stuff not happening in Georgia, in Atlanta, right?
Right.
Is there much legs for that?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like one of those. It seems like it should be more of like a web series. to expand the universe of the main characters that we're interested in. But, you know, I mean, I guess if they're just trying to broaden the whole property, then I guess so. But, again, that takes me right back to the original content and, you know, do you even mess with that?
Real quick on the Emmy Awards, Sherlock and Breaking Bad were big winners.
Good.
Yeah, but the strange thing about the Emmys is Orange is the New Black is considered a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Sherlock was a miniseries. Lead actors are supporting actors all the time. I feel like, you know, the awards don't even make any sense anymore.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad Breaking Bad won, though. Especially that last season was killer.
Yes, it was.
Very much, we mentioned before, Better Call Saul coming up in February.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be great. But, all right. So, let's get into the review section, man. Let's start with one of the two movies he saw recently.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Godzilla. No, I'm a big, giant monster movie kind of a guy. I mean, I dig that sort of thing. I loved Pacific Rim, if that tells you anything. But for a movie called Godzilla, I really wish I could have seen him more. I saw these other monsters that were running amok plenty. There was a lot of this movie that was in what seemed like pitch darkness. And anytime you really got to see Godzilla, it was all in dark and all in shadow. And I was just like, come on. I mean, you saw some parts here and there, but, you know, it's called Godzilla. I don't care what these people are doing. I don't give a damn. I want giant monsters. You know, let them fight kind of a...
Isn't that one of the lines from the trailer is one guy, a Japanese guy or something, said, let them fight.
And
which is probably what the viewer was let them fight.
that was the one time I was like, yes, movie, you're reading my mind now. But... it's really funny because it's like there's all of these other possible courses of action, and this one guy's just like, let him fight. It'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, it was Bryan Cranston. I mean, spoilers, guys, but Bryan Cranston kicks the bucket pretty early in the movie. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, that was kind of terrible. And then the guy from Alphas was the general military dude. But other than that, I mean, it was big monster. And then... somehow, they twisted this at the end. Because, I mean, they've been building it up for Godzilla to be the hero this whole time. And you're like, fuck that, this is a giant monster. I don't care who he's fighting for. But at the end of it, of course, he's walking out of the city and back into the ocean. And everyone's cheering for him. And I was like, what is going on? No.
Because he beat the other monster?
Yes. So...
he's a hero.
I guess.
Okay.
King of the monsters.
That's interesting. So how many... Godzilla footprints do you give it?
I'd give it 3 big, fat, stupid footprints.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
What's your other movie?
Million Ways to Die in the West. I want to go ahead and throw this out there. Now, this is going to sound weird, but I want to go ahead and say that this is probably the best movie that we've had in the last decade.
What?
if not more.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Last movie in the past decade, if not more.
Best, yes. And the reason I say this, you got to see it. I mean, it's hilarious for one. But the reason I say this is Ryan Reynolds shows up and gets shot down before he uttered a word. And I was like, Oscar, right there. It was that fast. He was like, boom, dead. So, yeah, there's that.
Okay, now I understand your proclamation.
I wanted to get that surprise out of you. But, no, it was actually really funny. I thought it was going to be... a lot worse than it was. Did you see Ted?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, I saw Ted, and I really liked Ted. So I was like, okay, Seth MacFarlane, maybe he does have some live-action chops here. And then he did this movie, and he was the main actor in it, as well as Charlize Theron.
Right.
Liam Neeson, of course, who was amazing. He was like the big bad guy. He was the big antagonist.
Have you seen the Key and Peele thing about Liam Neeson?
No.
Okay. We'll put a link of that on the podcast. There's these two valet guys that just love Liam Neeson so much, and they compare Liam Neeson to everybody.
Yes, you did tell me about
like
this.
The Batmans, and the nobody can beat the Batmans. Not even Michelle Pfeiffer's can beat the Batmans, but there is one guy, the Liam Neesons. Anyway, it's really funny.
He was actually really, really good, and he's quickly becoming one of my favorite guys. I love him. And then the...
Neil Patrick Harris
was also another antagonist. He was hilariously funny in it. Ewan McGregor made a quick cameo. Christopher Lloyd made a quick cameo. They had a little gag where, you know, they're back in the West kind of thing. And it kind of reminded me of Your Highness where, you know, they're back in the West, but they're like, holy fucking shit, and, you know, just kind of speaking like we would today or whatnot. And he makes out of place references anyway. But they have this gag where, you know, they're back in the 1800s, and then there's this shack that has all this light coming out of it. So he opens the door, and there's Doc Brown with a DeLorean, and he's like covering
it. I saw that part in the trailer.
So funny. But yeah, I mean, I was actually really surprised. It was probably, it was a really good comedy, and I haven't seen a really good comedy in a while. So right. I was excited.
Good to hear.
So what are yours? What you got?
Boyhood. Now, this is a serious movie. It's but I want to bring it up because of the ingenuity of the filmmaker, Richard Linklater, who did, I think, a movie that you felt like was terrible, A Scanner Darkly.
Yes.
And he's done a number of other movies. And say what you will about, say, A Scanner Darkly, At least he was trying for something.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a unique vision. He was shooting for the stars, for sure.
Now, Linklater, I really felt like he excelled at Boyhood. And here's the big hook for this. He filmed Boyhood over 12 years.
Yeah, okay. I remember you telling me about this now.
I didn't know if I mentioned that. Now, yes. For every summer, he would film Ethan Hawke, Patricia Arquette, and the two young stars, the boy and the girl. And you see the boy and the girl grow up before your eyes over this 2 hour and 40 minute, I think it was, movie that did not feel like two. I love it when you watch a long movie and it doesn't even feel like that.
Yep.
So I just want to give him props for coming out, which I don't think in the history of cinema really you ever seen a movie do that before.
I don't think so.
And you see these very flawed parents try to raise their kids, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like a crowd pleaser. I'm sure some people might not dig it, but to me, it really kind of had like a Human Condition type of thing to it. I just want to, in a summer movie season of a bunch of sequels and reboots and heavy effects, it's nice to see a quiet movie like that come along and do something totally different. You know?
So yeah, I will definitely check that out.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, I really recommend it. The last one is one that you and I both have seen.
Yes.
This is on Netflix. It's called Super.
Yes.
Stars Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page. Who else was in it?
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
That's about all the notable people I can really think
of. Now, the premise of Super is that Rainn Wilson's character goes through a split in his marriage. His wife leaves him, and he feels like the best...
She was a previous addict as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the best way to address this is to dress up in tights with a big-ass wrench.
A big pipe wrench.
And go bust some heads over some crimes.
Yes.
One of the most interesting parts of this, by the way, Jesse, is that this was written and directed by the guy that wrote and directed Guardians.
Was it?
James Gunn.
Ugh,
okay. We had polar opposite reactions to this, which always makes some pretty good conversation here. I thought this movie was brilliant. I thought it was so interesting the way that they subverted a lot of the superhero shit. He's basically killing people that don't deserve to, drug dealers, all this stuff. He goes after somebody that cut in line.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen Page has a ridiculous role where she worships Rainn Wilson's character and is like very attracted to him, rapes him at one point.
Yes, she does.
It's a goofy, dark, crazy comedy, indie kind of thing. Tell me why you didn't like it, man.
Okay, I want to go ahead and put out, at least give you a list of what I did like about it.
Okay.
I loved Ellen Page in this movie. I love Ellen Page anyway. I'll watch her in anything. But she, to me, stood out in front of everything. Her performance as this kind of weird, neurotic, psychotic kind of girl who wants to be this sidekick so badly, it was absolutely spot on. It was amazing. Rainn Wilson, I can't really say that I had any issue with his acting, but it came down to me for the plot because it was a whole bunch of I don't give a shit. Because, like, all right, things would happen like...
The characters or you?
Both.
Okay.
All right. all right, the whole thing with... the visions that he would have where, like, the roof gets ripped off and God pulls open his brain and touches it.
That was great.
And then they never talk about it again. It's just gone forever.
Well, the visions come back, but not the crazy hallucinations.
Yeah, well, they didn't even say anything about it as to why.
They had three or four references at the beginning. In other words, they had to say, why is he... I mean, he feels like he's doing God's work, basically.
Yes.
And he's a zealot, and I just thought that was an interesting way to show that.
At least it could have been like, oh, he has a brain tumor. That would have made a little more sense.
You know, there
something.
Are crazy fundamentalists out there that would do this shit.
I don't give a damn. Well, we're talking about a guy who beats people up for cutting in line. Come on.
It's funny. Although, I love the fact that they play this straight, though.
Yeah.
It's a funny concept, but it's horrifying to watch, actually. But you're laughing at the same time, so I love it when you do that. You know?
See, I had the same problem with Kick-Ass. I didn't like Kick-Ass either.
I haven't seen that one.
Where they put you into a world that has comics. So superheroes aren't real. Comic books are.
Yeah.
So then whenever they're doing... So, you know, they put you in that world.
There are no superpowers in this world.
Right. So then they have the characters doing these crazy things at the end, and I'm like, okay, you can't set me up in a realistic, physical kind of world and then just throw all that out the window by the end. Now, Super...
Well, they didn't break any of the rules.
Super didn't do it nearly as badly as Kick-Ass did. Huh. Because Kick-Ass is running around suddenly on a jetpack and he's firing a bazooka from it.
Oh, okay.
But to me, it was still... It was better than Kick-Ass, I can say that. But it was still, I don't know, it was just, I hated every single bit of it. Except for Ellen Page, she was the only good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, I just thought it was a different kind of movie. It made me laugh. I guess the biggest plus for me was how different it was than most movies I had seen.
Now, I mean,
and the characters were deeply messed up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun to see how messed up they could be, you know? So.
Well, I mean, and another thing I can say that they did very differently, it wasn't the hero gets the girl at the end. That was another good thing, I thought.
Yeah.
Even though it was out of place, it was a good thing because it was like, yay, I got my wife back, and my wife's
marriage
gone.
Still fell apart,
yeah,
right?
And all
that.
You know, all that.
A nice twist on the concept.
And I can dig that because it is different, but it feels so misplaced because this is a quote unquote superhero movie. You know what I mean? The hero gets the girl.
I don't think it was a superhero movie though.
Well, it was a hero movie. It was called Super.
I don't even know if he was a hero. He might not have even really been a hero.
He was just kind of a murderer. He probably should have gone to jail. That probably would have been a better ending.
Yes, he got away with a lot of murder.
Yes, a lot of murder. And then suddenly, I don't know what he did with Ellen Page's body. He just threw her in the trunk.
We got to put up a spoiler warning for the
review
here.
Never talked about it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just that kind of shit that makes me
crazy.
Kevin
Bacon. Pretty awesome in the movie. Come on. I don't know. I guess I just had a totally different take on it.
Kevin Bacon, not as good as it was in the X-Men movie, but... Not bad either.
I mean, he can chew some scenery.
He didn't dance, so, you know, there's that. But
is that a plus or a minus?
I'd say it's a minus. Damn it.
All right. Well, that is Super. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us.
Hey, guys. Just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.